Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, Jesus, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So tonight, the three things that we're going to be thinking about, because it's easier if you try and remember three, I think, is God's word to start with, and then suffering, trials, afflictions, whatever you want to call them, and lastly, encouragement. Okay. So, the reading that Barbara read, there was a little bit before, which if you have your Bibles open, you'll be able to see where I'm starting from. I got from verse 13, which talks about thanking God for his word. Okay, so if we just think about God's word for a moment. We need to embrace God's word as being precious and practical. And the people in Thessalonica were seeing the word of God working effectively in their lives. It helped them at the time to stand against the paganism that was going on. Now, there's many things that we can do with God's word. We can memorize it. We can meditate on it. We can make music with it. And we can minister with it. And now I'm going to talk to you a little bit. You've probably heard it before, called Lectio Divina reading. It's where you read a small passage. You read it very slowly. You read it again. And then you meditate on it. And as you meditate, then you pray around the passage and you sort of have a time where you're completely still and you contemplate on that passage. And that's quite often, it's quite often helpful to do that and to set aside time to do that. So if you haven't tried that before, maybe that's something you can try. And as we've talked about using God's word to pray, Paul, throughout this passage, is saying for him that prayer is very important. It was a priority for him. He gave thanks and praise, not just for God's word, but for people. And he also offered petitions, and it said he did it earnestly. Why? Because we all know prayer makes a very big difference. And we can carry other people by our prayers. The Bible, we believe, is scripture that is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof and for correction, and for training in righteousness. It has the power to convert sinners and also to edify saints. We should study it and encourage others to do the same. And as I was thinking about this, lots of questions came to my mind. So, how is God's word affecting my walk with him? Am I reading it enough? What is God saying when I read it? Do I use it enough for prayer? And then when I've read it, do I actually act on what it says? Quite big questions. And we need to take time to dwell, to be still, and not to rush away from our readings. And sometimes I think, well, for me certainly, sometimes I can have my morning Bible time and time with God. And then if you were to ask me at lunchtime what I'd read, sometimes I'm not quite sure. So it's sort of really challenging me to be switched on in the morning, paying attention to what I'm doing. So as we think about God's holy word, the Bible, then we think about Jesus, because Jesus is the word. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light." And then Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Jesus came to us incarnate. He is God with us. And he speaks to people. And that is why our encounter is an essential part of our life with Jesus, our own personal relationship with him. So Jesus, the Word, speaks to us, and he speaks through us, through our words, to other people, which is very encouraging. In Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, it says, "One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." So we do need to spend some time in the Word daily. The Word prepares us for situations that are to come. Look at situations and think, what portion of the Bible relates to what I see here? For me, this is something that I've had to do. I'm doing some training at Bible College, and some of you will know I've been doing chaplaincy work at Merry Hill. And I was walking around and I was asked to think about, as I'm walking around Merry Hill and I'm speaking to the staff and I'm trying to be friendly with them and to represent Jesus in that place, what parts of the gospel, what parts of the Bible am I seeing as I'm walking around? And that was a real big challenge for me. And at the end of the day, the one that I used in my my assignment was the passage where from Matthew, where it says, you know, if you came to me and you needed a drink, I gave you a drink. Or if you came to me and you were hungry, I gave you something. You know, if I see anybody in need, if they drop anything, or if there's anything practically that I can do to help people, that's what I do when I'm there. So that's the scripture that I used. But I've never really been asked to think about, Melissa, look at your circumstances now and work out which part of the Bible relates to your situation now and what's going on. So maybe that's something that we can be thinking about. And the Word is a lamp unto our feet. So as we're walking, if we get a bit confused, we can ask that God's Word will guide our steps and be a light unto our path. And I was really seriously encouraged not to take the Bible for granted. We have so many copies available. There's so many copies on shelves and even in the bookshelves in our house that we, you know, we've got so many we take it for granted, but we shouldn't really. And then we go on to speak about a lovely subject which you'll all be dying to talk about, and that's suffering and afflictions. It says, or Paul's saying to these people at Thessalonica, do not be surprised when suffering comes. Be ready and be prepared for it. It's part of the Christian life. And they were suffering because actually they were reading the Word, they were standing on it, they were being true to what it said, and because of that, they experienced suffering. Hostility towards Christ is expressed to believers and the church. And at this time, they were actually experiencing physical violence, which is not very pleasant. And we struggle to identify with persecuted Christians here in the West because we don't really get persecuted very much. Even if somebody takes the mickey out of what we believe in, that hurts. I'm sure you'll stand up and think, oh, I wish they hadn't said that, or, you know, if anybody says anything against God, then it hurts us. But that's probably the nearest that we come to feeling persecuted. But Paul was trying to encourage them because he could, because he'd experienced suffering. He'd been in prison. He'd been through lots of things. He was prepared to suffer for Christ. And so then he could tell the others, be prepared and be ready to suffer for Christ, because Paul had. He wasn't sort of telling them to do something that he couldn't do himself. Now, Paul wanted to be with these people, but he couldn't. He wanted to be with them because a lot of them were new to faith. So they were baby Christians, if you like. And he wanted them to be encouraged and to be able to grow. And he wanted to be there to help them, but he couldn't be. And that's why he's writing to them and trying to think of ways that he could actually help them. So the Christian walk is not an easy one. We're told in the scriptures it's a very narrow way, and that those who live godly lives should expect trials like Christ did. We should rejoice in this. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. We need to press on and to keep pressing on. And we must be prepared to sacrifice at times and to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and to put others first. So this made me think about, so okay Lord, where am I suffering at the moment? Is there anything that I need to sacrifice? Is there anything that I need to do for someone else that may be hard to do? In the Christian life, we're all encouraged to love one another, which we'll start to talk about in a little while. But actually, sometimes it's not that easy to do. And sometimes there'll be people in church that we maybe don't naturally get on with, and we find it quite hard to get on with them. And sometimes God will tell us to make more of an effort or to actually do something to bless that person. And when he asks us to do that, we should do it. So whatever he says to you, do it and don't argue. And I put that down because recently I was thinking about somebody, and I felt God asked me to do something, and immediately I'm starting to think of my response to God. Oh, but Lord. And before I'd even got there, oh, but Lord, it was like, do it. Just do it. Okay. So try not to argue with God. Even if it's hard to do, just do it. We talked earlier, right at the beginning, about memorising scripture. And you've all done that, I'm sure, at Sunday school when you were younger. And Nick gets us doing it, doesn't he, sometimes over the summer, where we have little cards. And we memorise verses off by heart. Now, that quite often is useful when you're in a sticky situation. Or when you're in a time where you're being tested, because it will come back. And very recently, I was on holiday. And there was something that I was struggling with. And we went to visit St. David's Cathedral, which was lovely. And I went in and just sat down for a moment. Didn't have much time because the family were waiting for me outside. So it was like quickly sit in the seat. And as I looked up, they've got a crucifix figure in the middle, in the centre. And I looked up and said, Lord, you know, I'm really struggling with this. Blah, blah, blah. Didn't say anything. It was all quiet. And at the time, I felt a real peace about the situation. And as I looked at the crucifix, I thought, God said to me, I know exactly what you're thinking, exactly what you're going through. Be peaceful in this situation. And then I came out of the cathedral, carried on with my holiday. But, you know, it didn't take long. But for me, that was a God moment, and I knew it was a God moment. I talked to God, he answered me back, and I tootled on. So sometimes, even when we are struggling with things, we can use scripture or we can pray, and that helps us to press on. Keep pressing on. Consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, when you face trials. That's what it says in James. And Richard Harding always used to ask me the question when he came into the office, okay, Melissa, so what are you learning today? And what are you learning in this situation? And what is God trying to tell you in this situation? So, if you're having a bad day, or if you're having a bad time, maybe just take a moment and think, okay, what's God trying to teach me here? What's he trying to say to me here? At the end of the day, God's timing is perfect. He is sovereign and he watches over us in everything. And finally, now we're going to think about being an encourager. So Paul sends a guy called Timothy to be an encouragement to these people. And Tim encourages them and he strengthens them. He strengthens the people in their faith. Paul sends him highly recommended. He says he's a brother in Christ and he's a fellow labourer in the gospel. And to encourage somebody, in the dictionary and in one of the concordances says, actually when you encourage somebody, you should stimulate people to action. Which is quite, I read that, okay. So I try to encourage people all the time, but I wonder then if there's any action. I don't know, we don't see, do we, sometimes. So we need to try and encourage each other, and especially the newly converted, because you'll all know from when you became a Christian that in the early days it's quite tough and you get quite a lot of doubts and you wonder if you've made the right decision and all of that. So it's really important to encourage new converts in their faith. Sometimes we need to share practical information, really basic information that's sort of down to earth that will help them to get on with the nitty gritty things that they need to do. We need to stand fast and be faithful. There's always room for improvement. So you might think, oh, I've heard all of this before, I know all of this, I've arrived, I don't need to keep trying to do this, but actually none of us have arrived, and there's always something that we can learn, and we should be thinking about that. It says we need to stand against the evil one, talks about Satan, and to live our lives with integrity. And in Ephesians it says, stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes, feet, put on your feet, and this will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times. Keep praying. So, the word of God we believe to be the truth, and we will stand on this. But it's not just the word of God that's the truth. It's us that need to be truthful as well in the way that we live, and so that others can see the truth in us. We need to be prepared to share it in actions and in words. So, The essay that I've been working on that's due in tomorrow has been looking at various people in John's Gospel and how they had a relationship with God. So I've been looking at Mary and Martha and Simon Peter and John and the way that they responded to God. And they all responded to God very differently. And Mary was the one that put the perfume on Jesus' feet and then wiped it with her hair. Now, if you study it, like I've had to study it, she doesn't then really go away and tell anybody about how wonderful Jesus is. But if you read the story and you visualise the action, her actions speak more than words do. Now, I'm not saying that as a cop-out, because sometimes we can use that as a cop-out and think, Lord, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to share anything because I'm too shy, or I really don't want to. It makes me feel uncomfortable. But we should be willing to share, and we'll know when we need to share something with somebody. But our actions are just as important as our words. And we need to be encouraged, actually, because sometimes people can see us do things and we might not realise that they've seen us do it. So, for example, a couple of years ago now, I went to New Wine with a group of people, and it was a few weeks later we were back here and talking, and this one girl said to me, I was really impressed by how you had a set quiet time every morning, even before we went out to New Wine, you know, I was in my little routine. And she said, that really spoke to me and I'm going to try and do that. Now, I wasn't doing that to show anybody what I was doing. I just did it. But she was obviously observing what I was doing. And people observe us all the time. We're not aware that they observe us, but they do. And so sometimes people will see you living your Christian life and something you do will encourage them. So it might not be that you have to say anything, but just the fact that you're going and living your life with Christian integrity will affect other people. So have faith and claim what the promises say in the Bible. If you believe it, you will receive it. Use the word against the evil one as well when doubts come, like Jesus did when he was tempted in the wilderness. For every doubt or question that came from Satan, he answered it with the word of God. And then it talks about us being filled with Holy Spirit, to be anointed and to get filled up daily. And I've put, don't run out of juice. So if you don't put petrol in your car or diesel and it runs out, it won't go anywhere. And we're the same. If we don't keep coming back to God, we'll run empty and there will be no good. We won't be effective and we need to go back to him daily. Pray unceasingly. And then he goes on to encourage them to love one another, which is what I was talking about before. And it's not always easy to love one another. We'll have personality clashes. We'll have disagreements and arguments. But we still must try and love one another and demonstrate this. And I was thinking about those little pictures, Phil. I can't remember them all. You know, in the in our new vision statement, we've got those little pictures. And I was thinking, I can't remember them off by heart yet, but I was thinking probably all those little pictures that the PCC came away with actually would fit into this passage that we've just read. And also, so do the Kingdom People values, which is love, compassion, justice and freedom. So if you take this passage and you read it at home, you'll be able to see all of these things. And actually, what I've drawn out of this passage, I've drawn out thinking about me, us corporately, but also me. But you might take it back, read it again and get something especially direct for you and your situation and where you're at. So, God's word, suffering and encouragement. Three things to think about. So, I'm just going to say a little prayer. Lord, speak to me through your word. Help me to live with integrity in good times and bad. Help me to encourage others and help me to do this daily. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. And in Thessalonians, you'll remember as well that he goes on to say, be joyful because one day we will meet him in the air and we will be like him and see him as he is. Oh, yes.